Appreciate the Lord tonight and all that He means to me. And before we get into the message tonight, I would like to give a personal testimony. I'm glad to be serving a living God. Aren't you? I thought a lot about all these other, they've been named up here, philosophers, leaders, spiritual gods that others have made. But do you know they all die? They all have one thing in common. They all die. They're either dead or they're dying. But we serve a living God. I'm so thankful for that. And I'm thankful for what the Lord has done in our lives. You probably didn't know it, but I'm a rock climber. But I'm not a physical rock climber. You could tell that, couldn't you? But I will tell you, I'm a spiritual rock climber. And I cannot do it without the Lord. And I know, I was talking with someone last night, sometimes you walk up to a cliff and all you can see is straight up. Lord, how am I going to do it? It's straight up. But the Lord is faithful. He always makes sure there's a handhold and a toehold. And He makes sure He gives you strength to crawl the rock. And I'm thankful for that. And also, I want to encourage each one, if you're in that place, there's a purpose that we are to be rock climbers, and that is to get to the top. And do you know, the view at the top is like nothing else. And I appreciate the Lord tonight. The message the Lord has given is, in a sense, part two of last night's message. I felt like that it was covered so completely, but the Lord has definitely given a burden. We live in a very serious time. If we only knew, if we could peek at how soon it is at our door, the altar, we wouldn't have enough altars. So all we can do is feebly tell you what the Lord has given us. We don't get up here for the cold glass of water. We don't get up here because it's comfortable to us or because we like speaking. We don't serve the people because we want preeminence. Do you know why we do what we do? Why we give ourselves, why we spend ourselves, why we grow old, maybe sooner than others, or I don't know. That may not be so, but it's because of this very thing that we're going to talk about tonight. We understand the seriousness of life, and that life will end, and it will for every one of us here. And I want us to understand that very seriousness. So the word I'm going to write on the board is superlatives. Do you remember when you came home from school and you learned that big word superlative? What did you learn today? We learned about the word superlative. It seems so grown up and so important. We learned that there's good, there's better, and there's best. You don't say gooder or goodest. We say good, better, or best. You also say bad, worse, or worst. You don't say bad, badder, well, bad, badder, baddest, yes. We don't say worstest. That's just how we say our words. Bad, worse, worst. What we experienced Monday night, was that not? We heard the word awesome a lot. Heaven met us down here, didn't it? And we're thankful for that. And you know, you can walk away and think serving the Lord is the best. But I'm going to tell you, that was good. That was good. That was a good night. And I'll tell you why. Because there is a better place, and then there is the best place. the better place. When our loved ones die, they go to the better place, paradise. We loosely use the word heaven, and it can be interchanged, but we still have not arrived at best. That song 190, if someone will read that last verse for me, that will be best.
When perfect salvation,
shout with the millions on high. That was well written, wasn't it, Brother Leslie? That's the best. What we were singing was so good. But can you imagine arriving in heaven? That's the best. Singing with all of the saints. We're singing with a portion, a very small portion. But gathered around the great white throne, singing about the songs of salvation. I don't know. Maybe we won't even sing those songs. I don't know. It's all over with then. Our faith is lost in sight. What songs will we sing? That's the best. That's the best. That's where we want to go. It's the reality of life. And so I want to ask you, what was the best day of your life? You know, was it the first day of school? Was it the day you got married? The day you got saved? Was it the day you held your baby for the first time? Those are all good days. I'm here to tell you, those are good days. And we might think that was the best day. But we have an anticipation of something better. And when the Lord comes in the cloud of glory, that's the best. That's what we want to reach. But there's a flip side. I want us to turn to Job. Job went through, I believe, more than I've known of anybody to go through. He had some bad days. Now let's read about that. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Oh, a bad day. What kind of news would that be? Possessions that I own, taken from me. My way of living, being destroyed. Oh, don't you know, his face fell. He was rubbing his forehead. Oh, what am I going to do? While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Oh, was that bad day made worse? Oh, my. Lord, when I got up this morning, I didn't know what I'd have to face. It's too much, Lord. It's the worst day of my life. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." How much worse can it get? While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they were dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Oh, losing your possessions is one thing. But losing all of your children, I've not experienced that, but I've seen others experience the loss of a child. We've experienced it in our meeting. The family is grieving. That child was theirs. There's something deep within you. And you, what if you lost two children? Sister Connie has lost two children. That's a hard thing. It makes for a bad day. Makes it very hard to go on. Lord, I don't even want to wake up. It hurts too bad. Job, all of his children. Oh, I can't go on. And do you know, we kind of have that, I'm not going to say mentality, but we feel like that's a bad day. It's a bad day. When you face, what if you lost your job? These are serious things. They face this. What if you lost your house? These are real. What if you had no money? What if you were hungry? What is the worst day? What is the absolute worst thing that could happen to you? Is it any of these things? Job experienced a horrible day. Was it the worst day of his life? Probably in his life, he probably felt that way. And we can, in our own world, we all have our own circle of friends and neighbors and family, and our own social life, our own job life, career. When you lose those things, is that the worst thing that can happen to you? If you've lost a companion, lost parents, a loved one in death, is that the worst thing that can happen to you? Or maybe you've lost through divorce, lost a companion in that way. Is that the worst thing that can happen to you? Is it possibly the worst day of your life? As bad as it hurts, as sorrowful as that carries, it's not the worst thing that can happen to you. And I'm here to tell you, there's something worse. It was dwelt on last night, and let us go and examine it a little further. Lazarus, the rich man. Turn with me to Luke, the 16th chapter. This is a very serious story that Christ tells, and it's not a story. You know, a lot of his were parables, but this was an actual happening. We're not certain of everything, and I'm not going to be able to explain everything about this happening that Christ described. But it described it in superlatives. Amazing story in superlatives. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. He had a good life, didn't he? The message that was dwelt on last night was of those who have rebelled and have joined the crowd in its revelry. But this, it doesn't say that about this man. He might have been a really good neighbor. He might have been a very honest man. He might have been of good character, good morals. We do know one thing. Life was good for him. How had he gained that wealth? It doesn't say. There's a lot left out of this context here. But we can. He was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Do you know, this is the fear I have. I fear our desire, our goals, our aims are to do just as this rich man. Have you ever heard of someone that wants only the best? I don't want a car. I want the best car. I will look in consumer reports. I will check all the details out because I want the best car. I don't want a job. I want the best job. I'm not going to grovel in some little menial characteristic job because I want the best job. I want to make the best money. I want to have, this man was a dresser now. He was a clothes horse. I want to have the best clothes. I'm not going to go for these menial garments that are on sale on a rack somewhere. They have to have a name brand in it. I'm only going to have the finest garments. That has become our mentality, sadly. Because we're so wrapped up in finding the best that this life has to offer. Do you realize you could have the worst in eternity? That's the superlative of it. You could absolutely have the worst in eternity. Let's go on. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. This was a man that apparently didn't have good nourishment. This was a man who didn't have fine garments, didn't have the finest job, didn't have the finest car, didn't have the best of everything. And he laid him at the gate. So apparently he was pretty helpless. He was a very sick man. But I believe Lazarus knew that this life was only temporary. Well, we know. He had his priorities figured out. And it says, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. That sounds like a very gross place to be, a very low place to be. But Lazarus had his priorities in the right place. Lazarus knew where his hope really came from. Lazarus had made all the right choices. It just wasn't seen in this life. Lord, help us. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. A better life for Lazarus. Carried by angels. How wonderful was that? Carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And do you know what? He hasn't got to the best yet. He's still being comforted in Abraham's bosom. In the presence of paradise. He's arrived at better. He's arrived at better. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. This scripture is very amazing to me. It said, in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Do you know the scariness of that scripture? He hasn't got to the worst yet. How long ago was this scripture written? He's been in that same hell since then. Are we looking at 2,000 years? It said Moses and the prophets, so it was before Jesus. So are we looking at 3,000 years? He's been in torments. And I've wondered too, how was he able to see Lazarus? But Lazarus didn't see him. I believe part of your torment is realizing all your lost opportunities. That when the message was going forth last night and the brother was talking about the Mr. Scott that died tragically after his author of the Highway to Hell song. Do you know he's still in torment? I can't help but believe he even heard that message last night. I've thought about that. Do they hear every invitation? Could they convince you if they were here? I guarantee they'd preach you a message because they're in torment. And the worst isn't there yet. That is yet to be. Lord, help us to understand where our priorities need to be. It's not in this life. It's not in this earthly vessel. It's not Remember Job? He'd lost all of that. And then he was tormented in afflictions. Sometimes that can be your lot. But understand, that's not the worst that can happen to you. Lazarus experienced some very impoverished states, but he had made all the right choices. In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Single flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. The rich man did not have his priorities on the right things. I'm not saying it's bad to have nice things, but I'm telling you, it could cost you your soul. Now, how serious can that be? Are you concerned about your soul? Do you care? You could be in a torment of a flame, and that's not the worst for the rich man. We will read about it in a minute. And beside all these, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither they can they pass to us that would come from thence. Do you know one of those torments is? There's no hope. You know, when we sing and sing and sing and sing, do you know why we sing and sing and sing and sing? Because there's still hope. There's still a hope that, Lord, if you're dealing with the heart, we don't want to turn anyone away. We want everyone to come to an altar of repentance. We want everyone to go to that best place that I was telling you about, that the scriptures tell us about. We don't want anyone. Jesus, or the Lord said, I think it's in 2 Peter, that it wasn't his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's every last person on this earth. Every one of them. It was not his will. He did not desire that. He has such a heart for souls. But do you know there will come a time when he says, depart. I know you not. Right now he knows. He knows every soul. But in that eternal realm, when we come and face him in judgment, he'll say, depart. I never knew you. You will be forgotten. Mercy is past. There's a gulf that cannot be bridged. It's too great. It can never happen. That rich man can never be relieved of the flame that he's in. He can never be relieved of the torments that he's feeling. And you know, in that realm that he's in, he saw his living brothers making the same bad choices he's making. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You know, we heard people say it's just to be a big party. But there were some very real things mentioned last night. How afraid are you of the dark? You know why we're not afraid of the dark here? Because there's nothing here to hurt us. You know, as a child, maybe you were afraid of the dark. And mother would turn on the light and say, honey, there's nothing in this room to hurt you. Turn off the light. Everything remains the same. Not that darkness. Not that darkness. That darkness will contain torments that you can never get away from. How would you like to be in a room full of, imagine, snakes, and it be dark? And they're stinging and biting you. That's just an earthly comparison. Whatever's there is far worse We don't have to fear the darkness here, but there is fear in that darkness over there. When it says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, it's because they're crying in pain. They're crying because they're hurting. Gnashing means grinding your teeth together, gritting because there's so much pain there. You hurt so bad. And that's not the worst yet. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. It was mentioned last night. There are no atheists in hell. Everyone that's in hell believes. They believe. You may not, but they believe because they know their torment. They know the realness of where they are at. I want you to think about that tonight. What choices are you making? Here's the worst. Here's the worst that can happen to you. Revelation, the 20th chapter. And the 15th verse. Here's the worst that can happen to you. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. One flame, lake of fire. Vast difference. That's what they have to look forward to. That's what the Mr. Scott is thinking about, even as we speak. The lost opportunities. That scripture that said that hell had enlarged herself. Do you know, I've thought about that a lot. I've thought about America. We've been blessed. The book's not Burns. We're not molested for having 10 copies if we want to in our home. We're not hiding anywhere because of persecution. We're not hiding to have services here. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Don't have to have a closed meeting somewhere. Don't have to hush the times that we're going to meet together. We're not hindered. We have great opportunity. America has had great opportunity to search for the truth in God's Word. There's nothing to stop you. There's nothing to hinder. There's no government. Now we may come into that. And sometimes I've wondered, maybe the fires of persecution be lit. People will listen. I don't know. But what it's developed is a complacency for about 200 years. We've become used to this place that we're in. We're not fearful of being shot preaching the gospel. We're not fearful of being jailed even. And I've thought of that. So what has America done? Has she lived righteously? No. The grossest, most horrible things are beginning to happen within our culture, within our society, and it's called right. And it's not criticized, and they don't want you to criticize. And I look at that and think, how can a nation that has promoted abortion, that has killed millions of souls, millions? And we had a chance to know truth and right. Do you know why hell probably has to enlarge itself? Because there's a vast amount of people. You know, I think of those other countries where the light is just squeezed out a little at a time. And when they get it, they embrace it so hungrily because they are so hindered by their governments and their society and the things that go on there. And they grasp it so tenaciously. And we in America, would we drive 2 days to a meeting on a bicycle? We can't even come to services in a car. That's why hell has to enlarge itself. Because there's so many people who have taken this grace and trashed it. But I'm telling you, there is a best place for you to go. The very best. And that's what I want for each one of you. But the reality of it is, if you do not make choices now, in this life while you are breathing and thinking and processing your in your mind, your hope is gone. And you will face the worst that there possibly could be. I thank the Lord for your attention, and I desire that you pray for me.